Well, good morning or afternoon, everyone. It's Lindsay Bagent from the Direct Sales Success Club, and I'm so excited about the interview that I'll be doing today with Deanna Perza, Presidential Director with Nutramedics. Deanna, no doubt, has an amazing direct sales journey, and I'm very excited to be spending time with her today to discover a little bit more about what that looks like. Deanna, welcome today. I'm excited to be spending some time with you.
Thank you, Lindsay. I appreciate it.
Look, it's my absolute pleasure. I met you probably 2 or 3 years ago, and I have to say I was really impressed when I first met you, and I thought to myself, there will come an opportunity where I get a chance to ask you some questions and really gain an insight into your journey. So, as I say, really very excited about this time and feel privileged to be spending some time with you. So I know that, you know, we'll have a lot of people listening to this call who may be interested in becoming part of your personal business, or perhaps may even be looking at some opportunities and really just wanting to get an understanding as to what direct sales is like and to learn from masters in the industry as to some of the pitfalls and some of the joys along the way. So what I'd like to start by asking you this morning, if I may, is why did you decide a career in direct sales in the first place? What was attractive in that for you?
Well, it wasn't really something I had planned on looking for or getting involved in. In fact, probably sales was the last thing on my agenda to work in. But it really did happen as an accident. I come from a very large family of sisters, and one of my young sisters was getting married and thought that she would invite me to this beautiful product that she had tried that had got her amazing results, and her skin looked beautiful just before she was going to get married. And so decided to have this party, makeup party or skincare party, as they called it in those days, and would I like to go along? And my first response was no. I was far too busy as a working mother, working full-time in another career. And I used Saturdays to more or less organise my following week. So therefore, the answer was definitely a big no-no, although she was family. And then I got a phone call from my mother on the day saying, oh, how can you not come to your sister's party? So, of course, feeling a little bit guilty, off I went to support my sister and the party. And when I walked in, there was this fabulous looking consultant, looking very professional with all her products out, and six people had arrived that, and all of them had said, we don't know whether we would go, but my young sister had done a great job, I think, of enthusing everybody and encouraging everybody to attend, because obviously there were benefits in it for her, which I later found out, to be able to get products as a reward for inviting those other girls. So off I went. It was a lovely experience. I really enjoyed it, but I didn't really partake a lot. I was in the kitchen looking on, and I thought, oh, my God, doesn't that girl look lovely after she had finished the makeover and the skincare routine? I was totally impressed with what was going on. But what really impressed me was the relaxing manner in which this consultant had more or less presented her products. It was like a great friend you've known all your life walk in, help relax you in a very intimate environment where you can just sit back, look at the various options she was presenting, look at the end result that was occurring through providing us with the products that we were more or less trying on the back of their hand, and one of the models was actually having a makeover. And I think the whole thing just sort of something happened to me inside. I thought, what a pleasant environment, how relaxing, how interesting, how informative, and how educational. All those things did totally blow me away, because I had never really wanted to go to a party or been to a party type experience before. But this was something that made an impression on me. So therein starts my journey.
Oh, look, that's... I was going to say, can I just ask one question, Deanna? You shared in the beginning there that originally your answer was no to go along to the party. Can I ask, obviously you had some things that needed to happen on that Saturday, but you and I both know that we always can find time for those things that we really believe are something that we need to be in and attending, as you chose, you know, to attend initially, you know, at the end. What I'm curious of, did you have some preconceived ideas as to what a party would look like? Was there anything there in your decision-making process that was related to what you thought a party might look like back then?
Well, I thought it was a whole lot of girls getting together and somebody arriving just to simply sell products you don't want to buy. That really was my impression, that the whole agenda was around just selling product and somebody getting something out of it, namely the person that was selling it, and yeah, that was it.
Yeah.
So it was a negative perception, I think, to something like that.
And I find it interesting because I know, you know, when I was first invited to go to a party myself, I thought exactly the same thing. So I was just curious to see whether or not there was some idea there in the first place. And obviously when you went along to the party, you've had this amazing experience where, you know, it's a beautiful, relaxed environment. There's some great outcomes being had with the gorgeous products. What was the next step for you from there?
Well, you know, unknowingly, something was happening, I think, in my subconscious. There was a possibility coming up, you know, like, could it be possible that this could be something that I could benefit by? Because as a full-time working mum, and I had a 3-year-old and a 13-year-old, renovating a house, my husband was busy, you know, I was constantly busy. You know, how could I possibly include this in my working agenda? And how could I benefit by it? Hmm. Now, I picked up, while I was there, I picked up a company magazine that had all these girls beautifully dressed, glowing with their beautiful skin, stepping into these brand new cars they were getting. And I thought, oh, and I asked the question, oh, what's all this about? And the young lady actually said to me, these are rewards, these are incentives our company provides our working consultants with when they go up to a next level, the first level of management. That really did impress me because the company appeared to be a very generous company, and I thought, wow, I don't get the red carpet treatment at work like this. Maybe, again, it should be something I should further think about. So but unknowingly, they were just thoughts that were in the back of my head, but I don't think I was really going to do anything about it until the young lady came up to me and said, why don't I come and see you and explain a little bit more about what we do and how you could benefit by this. She more or less said to me, look, have you ever thought of doing something like this yourself, which today I still use in my parties or in my spa experiences. I still use that sentence, have you ever thought of doing something like this yourself, which opens up a whole conversation. Well, when she said that to me, I actually said, oh, and I paused and I said, well, would you mind telling me what you learned on this, at this party? And she told me, and this was in 1980, and I had a pretty good job. I had a good career, and in 1980, I think I was earning about $275 a week. She turned around. The sales were in those days, I think it was $5.50, and I think, look, the cleanser was $8.95. So in relative terms, if you talk about it today, I suppose the show would be more like $1,200 to $1,500. she was doing 3 appointments a week.
Mm.
That meant that she earned probably maximum earning 45%.
Mm-hmm.
So she nearly earned my salary in 2 hours.
Mm.
And I had to work all week for it. That sort of prompted me to think a little differently on the subject of I don't like sales and I do fear public speaking.
Mm.
And to a degree I still do today.
Mm. Yeah.
You know, should I really look at this? Because my benefit would be that I could leave work, I could earn very good income, providing I ran this as a business. So right up front, I thought very differently about it. I didn't think of, should I get the kit because I can save money and become a consumer and just, you know, order direct for myself. I actually looked at it as a business.
Mm-hmm.
And that it could actually benefit my family's life.
And it's really easy. It's really interesting that you should say that, Deanna, because Stephen Covey says to start with the end in mind. And obviously, you know, right back there in 1980, when you were looking at this as an opportunity, even unknowingly, you're asking the questions with the intent to develop a business, which, you know, you've gone ahead and done. And as I say, presidential director within the company is no mean feat. That's, you know, definitely has required an awful lot of work and commitment along the way, and for you to be a very savvy businesswoman. So can I just ask you the question here? If that young lady way back then had not had a conversation with you and offered you the opportunity, is it possible that you may have left that party with the thoughts perhaps running through your mind, but not doing anything with that? Is that a possibility, do you think?
A huge possibility, Lindsay, simply because I had too many fears and anxieties to actually pursue it on my own.
Mm.
I had too many doubts
mm.
because I, you know, I come from an immigrant family, the oldest of 5 in my family, and my father is dead now, but he will remain in my memory forever because I actually owe a lot to him for being the person I am today. And my mother's still alive. She's 85. She's a beautiful person. She's a great disciplinarian. And between the two, I think I took the best. And I want to honour them with this statement. My father, being a creative man, constantly failed in every business venture he went into. My mother, being a European mother and very much family orientated, was a great disciplinarian, and through her we survived a lot of challenges in the family. Mm. But as I sort of looked at the business, if I didn't have that somebody inspiring me and following me up and keeping me focused on that initial seed that was planted on that day, I would have walked away and not have experienced these wonderful wonderful learnings, if you like, in life that I did actually achieve being involved in Nutramedics in the company as a whole. I had a calling, I think, that day to confront my fears and anxieties and to overcome previous failings that I had seen in my father's experience. And I wanted to get over that. I wanted to create a new legacy of you can do anything you put your mind to. You can achieve what you want. You can believe in dreams that you have. They're there because your imagination is more or less telling your heart that there is something going on there. Pay it respect. As grim as it might look that you know you may not be able to do it and all these doubts come in and want to punch out that dream, hold on to it for dear life, because that's what life is about. You're given an imagination to be creative, but then on the other hand you need the discipline to be able to carry through all the details that need to be put together to manifest that. And I guess that's why I honour my mum, because I've got that from her. So I love them both, and thank you, Dad, for all your failings, and thank you, Mum, for your sense of discipline, because in all of the years that I've been doing Nutramedics, I think that when something or somebody is challenged, the first thing that they do is create a doubt, and that doubt takes over. And so people gravitate back to their weakest point. Yet their dream is the strong experience within them, and we just don't pay it enough respect. And I think if we can learn to respect that innate dream that we all have to make life better, to pursue all these wonderful experiences that are presented to us and these opportunities to go out and do something creative with them, you know, life is good. And I'm for making life good and pleasurable. And it starts, of course, with helping me become assertive and learn to be a better person, but then to also be an example to my children and my family on the whole.
Most definitely. And do you know what I'm hearing from you here, Deanna, is that, you know, doubt is a normal part of progression and a normal part of our evolution as human beings. And it's about being able to push through that doubt and never let go of the dream is what the real gift is for us to follow through on. Would that be true?
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah, yeah. Okay. I was going to say, because I know that there'd be a lot of people who in life choose to allow their doubts to hold them back from moving forward. And as you say, you know, you've obviously come from a beautiful family environment, but one that certainly has had some doubts there or could have planted some seeds of doubt for you with respect to business and whether or not it's a great thing to even be involved in. So, you know, what sort of things did you draw on in those moments of doubt yourself, Deanna, when obviously some challenges presented themselves to you? What did you actually do? What happened for you that enabled you to keep pushing forward? Because you're in the elite few people that managed to get really to the top of their game and sustain it over a period of years. So I'm curious to hear from you, what is it that you draw on in those moments of doubt? How do you get yourself to push through?
Well, I sort of look at myself as a family woman and, you know, as I said, being an immigrant child and coming out, I know the contrast of having and not having. I didn't have. So I didn't want that experience. I wanted life to be better. So just imagining, I mean, you're walking a tight rope here of going left or right, right being the greater picture of life and left being where you fall off the rope and you land, you know, and hurt yourself on the ground sort of thing. So I thought, well, I can either grow wings and fly or I can just allow myself to crash. So what are the benefits of not experiencing or not learning or not overcoming or not pursuing my innate dream to make life a pleasurable, abundant experience? And we're not just talking about money here. I mean, to me, money is a quantification of creative energy. You know, it's money in itself means nothing because it's how you feel about how you're putting out there all the good things from you into making your life a pleasure in whatever work you choose to do. So if I didn't pursue learning and growing and expanding my perspective, first of all, on what I'm able to do and achieve, all the things around me would not manifest. Like my children won't have anyone to mentor from, for instance. My being the oldest sister in the family, my siblings won't have someone to look up to and respect. My mother's not going to walk around being proud that her family finally achieved something. So it's not just about dollars in the bank, although that's a great reward when you get it. So for me, it was, how do I keep going? Well, the picture of having this fantastic experience in life and nobody can give it to you, well, actually, you're blessed with the opportunity. It's whether you're going to take it or not. So I took it with both hands and I just did it. And I didn't give myself a choice.
Fantastic. I'm interested, you say here that, you know, coming from an immigrant family, you knew the difference between having and not having. And for you, it was about making that choice for the greater picture of life. And we talk sometimes about the pain and pleasure model, and you talk about having and not having, and I'm taking it that the not having had some pain attached to it. The having had some pleasure attached to it. And so it was very much as you talked me through there, the process then of looking at the possibilities of your children not having a great role model, and for your family to have finally come forward and created this wonderful business. You really did, even at an unconscious level back then, use what we now know as the pain and pleasure model to support yourself to take action. Would you say that that would feel right for you?
Oh, look, absolutely.
Yeah.
Absolutely. You just don't give yourself a choice. When an opportunity presents itself, there's no right or wrong opportunity. If you can see that there's some sort of opportunity, if you can add it up and you think, well, this is a bit of an opportunity, it's a good place to start.
Yeah.
And, you know, for example, there you go, Nutramedics came along and I thought, well, there are no risks involved. There's only learning. The more I learn, the more I do better, the more I earn, the greater I feel. And it's a fantastic feeling.
Yeah.
And along with that, many years later, my husband, he also mentored from me. You know, he ultimately ended up building from scratch a very powerful business in an interesting futuristic industry that he's still very successful at today, and which I'm involved with him on a small scale. But it's exciting because there's so much that can happen around you simply because you make the choice of making life work. And, you know, life is an art form. I mean, it's like somebody gives you the canvas, the paints, the brushes, and you can paint whatever pictures you like. I don't think a lot of people in my experience can use a lot of excuses, like I didn't go to school, I can't add up, I don't have degrees, and all that sort of thing. And really, it's not important. What is important is, if your heart wants to make life work, you can make it work. You get the right support. You find an opportunity maybe that's not risky. Mm. And probably this is where I loved Nutramedics, in that they were extremely supportive right from day one. And the girl that sponsored me was extremely supportive in following me up and showing me how to go about doing what I needed to do to get where I wanted to go, guiding me with care and love and respect, asking me questions rather than telling me. All of these things played a role in moving me forward.
Mm.
And I have to say that I don't think that there would have been another journey that could have been as fun, as exciting, as adventurous, as educational in life and business as my Nutramedic spa experience opportunity.
I can just imagine. It certainly is a wonderful playground to discover more about ourselves and about the human race as a whole. And I love what you say here. No risks, only learning. And that really is true, isn't it? If we can just get past our fears and doubts and follow our heart's purpose and go out there and have a go, and knowing that there's no risks, only learning, it gives us a totally different perspective. I love that, Deanna. Love that. So I'm curious now, so you've made the decision that you're wanting to get involved in this opportunity. You see this is the right fit for you. You may have some doubts and fears, but you've identified that you've got this really nice mentor. As you've described, your sponsor was someone that offered you mentorship, which is obviously something that's become and was then really important to you and remains so today. When you made that decision, I'm curious, what did people around you think? Back in 1980, when you made this decision to become part of this this take on board this opportunity, what was the feedback from people around you, given that there was some history there with respect to business? How did that look for you?
That was amazing. Once I made the decision, there I was going to do it. I didn't say to myself, look, I'm going to become the most powerful or I'm going to become a presidential director. The feeling was, and this is what really moved me and propelled me forward, was, look, if I'm looking for an opportunity, if I, as a woman, am looking to spend more time with my children, pay off my mortgage, give my children, you know, maybe a family holiday or other little benefits that we could have that we couldn't have before, although I was full-time working. Look, most people full-time working, you'll find that their total income is absorbed in their mortgages or in their daily living experiences. There's hardly, and especially in today's economy, there's hardly much left for what life is about, and that's having fun, having loving moments together, feeling free, feeling alive, having time to reflect. It all takes money and creative energy to get that money, you know. So what propelled me forward was the fact that if I'm one of these people yearning for that better experience, I'm sure there are many other women out there that are yearning for the same. But like myself, probably are lost in a pool of doubt, and there is no saviour to come out. What do they owe me? To come out and pull me out of the pit and say, look, you don't have to doubt. You can do this. And I thought, okay, I've made the decision for me. Well, you know what? Innately, I'm going to make the decision for many other women out there, and I will be the person that will pull them out of that pool of doubt. And I'm going to shine the torch on the potential I have found in me. I'm going to find it in them. So I'm going to shine the torch on their potential. I'm going to shine the torch on their innate, natural creativity as a woman, because everybody gets up every day, they look at themselves in the mirror, all women, put their lippy on, take the kids to school, put a cream on to make their skin look fresh and lovely. So it's not an Einstein science. So if I could just show them how simple it is to go out there and get into business for themselves and make their life better and share what I've discovered within myself, I am helping women in this country. I'm helping them. That really gave me an incredible buzz that in sharing all my learning experiences and the opportunities I'm discovering, sharing it with other women, truly gave me a thrill, and it still does today, 31 years later. That is what kept propelling me forward, that.
Wow. And I think that's the thing, as you're describing, you know, pulling people out of their pool of doubt and sharing with them that there are these opportunities. I mean, that really has been something, as you say, remains very important to you, even 31 years, you know, further down the track. It's still something that is important to you, shining that torch on other people's potential and supporting them to discover the potential in themselves. And you do it, obviously, so beautifully, because the way in which we, you know, move through the varying different levels in business is when you help somebody else to become successful, you become more successful. So your ability to do this work, Deanna, has obviously been second to none, because it's showing in the results that you're getting in your business. You don't get to where you are without supporting others to get what they want in life.
I believe in the human race. I believe in the goodness of people, and I truly believe in their potential.
Wow, that's just
given half a chance. I think given half a chance, people will embrace a far more expanded experience and a far more abundant, beautiful experience in their life, just given half a chance. And to me, you know, using Nutramedics as a tool to bring the best out of people has been a wonderful experience, because not only am I lucky to have the support of the company in helping me grow, but I've got the support of a great product to be able to do it with too. So
fantastic. So So, okay, so when it came to, you know, perhaps looking back over your 30-year career, there's obviously been lots of fantastic things that have happened along the way. I'm just really curious to hear about some of what those achievements may have been for you. You know, what are some of those ones that just really still light you up when you think about them today?
Look, many experiences, but we'll just go back to your last question because something has just come to mind. There I was with this enthusiasm and this excitement, and then I wanted to get the business going, and all of a sudden I'm thinking, well, I've got all this emotion and this enthusiasm. Where do I get started? And it actually took me about 2 weeks to get a booking to get started. Uh-huh. And in those days, there was no education. There was no training. It was very little in training material as such, and a very small amount of product. And even today, you don't need a lot of product to actually get maximum sales. But off I went, and I thought, well, what do I do now? I'm not prepared. I haven't really had much training. What am I going to do? And it just showed me on that day that without any training, but simply having an end result in mind and being excited about the possibility of what I could do and where I could take this got me through not knowing anything. So I just chose one. I had my young sister actually reading me a few things in the car on the way to this to this party. And I said, what do I do first? And she kept reading it. Well, we finally arrived. I started the show, and I just used just innate common sense and tried to copy what that young lady, of course, I was impressed with, did at her party. I know I got terribly nervous, and they said to me, you know, oh, you look like you're going to faint. And I was. I was going to faint. Hyperventilating all the way. And I thought, oh, my God, you know, it doesn't matter whether they buy. I don't really care what happens here. You know, I have to survive this. And they said, well, gee, you look really, you know, this is my very first show, ladies. I was very honest with them, and I'm really quite nervous. But I chose a product, one product only that I loved, and I just raved about it. Ultimately, they all bought it. They all bought the product. And then they said, well, gee, you look nervous. Why are you doing this? I said, because I am going, this was in early March 1980, because in September I am going to Hawaii with my husband, fully paid by the company, and they're giving me a company car. And they said, are you really? And I said, yeah. Now, that was my very first show, no training, but I spoke about what I knew was going to happen because I had decided, I was enthusiastic about it, and no matter how nervous and frightened I was, that was my reason for being there. And three of those five girls actually said, how does that happen? Can you tell us a bit about it? And so, of course, I invited them to my home in the following week, and, of course, the girl that sponsored me came along and educated me on how to talk a bit more at length about the opportunity. Those three girls came, and those three girls joined, and, in fact, I think two of them were in cars and came to Hawaii with me that September. So that was amazing, wasn't it?
Wow. And again, you know, what I'm hearing here from the language that you're using is that you really did start with the end in mind. Even at that very first party, Deanna, in your mind, it was about going to Hawaii. It was about getting that car. There was no other option for you. Whereas what I hear sometimes when people start in direct sales is that they come into it with a mindset of, well, if it doesn't kind of work out, then I haven't lost much. Or if it doesn't work out, then I can always go and do something else. And what I'm noticing here that's very different, and for those people that are listening to this interview, what I hear when I'm speaking with leaders is that those who are incredibly successful in their businesses start with the end in mind. And the way you're sharing, Deanna, there, that your language was, I'm going to Hawaii. The company is giving me a vehicle, giving me a car. It's all very much stated in the positive. There is no doubt there, albeit that at the time in the car driving there, your hands might have been shaking and you may have been wondering what on earth it was that you were going to do when you got there with no training and really no clue. But in your mind, and your mindset was supportive of you in achieving your goals, despite the fact that you may not have had the training at that stage, what you were able to do is focus your mind on the outcome that you wanted to create. And I really would love to really, you know, drum that point home to anybody who may be listening, is that success begins in the mind. And what I've heard from you so far in our sharing today, Deanna, is that you took control of what you were saying to yourself very early in the piece, and that really shone through there loud and clear. And I'm not at all surprised that you and your husband went to Hawaii. So I've got to ask the question, how was it?
Oh, it was magnificent. Oh, you have no idea. It was truly magnificent. And there's one thing about our company is I did experience the red carpet treatment. Mm. I was in awe of the treatment and the respect that they gave me for being such an achiever. And I have to tell you, you know, that I had never experienced anything like that in my life. But then there is a situation of, okay, I did it. I've got to keep doing it. Mm. So, and you come back, and one of the things that I learned is when I went to Hawaii, you know, I didn't have probably a prepared diary, and that was the very first most powerful lesson is that I learned that your diary is probably, well, it's your life. And I learned so much around handling my diary of business. Always have a full diary. Always have a full diary. Always assess your diary once every day, and a final assessment like every Sunday night, and make sure that your diary is in is booked out and booked ahead. And if it's not booked ahead, having strategies of how you're going to keep it full all the time. Mm-hmm. Because the more full your diary is, the more wonderful opportunities to expand your business and grow it.
So
can I come back after a wonderful holiday and have an empty diary is a very, very defeating sort of experience. Mm-hmm. And I learned never, ever will I ever do that again, because my diary had one or two or three bookings and it should have had more like 20.
And that's a really great point for you to raise there, because obviously in the growth of business, it's about the sustainability. How do we sustain and keep that momentum flowing through? So I can imagine that you've gone and you've been to Hawaii, you've achieved that goal, because that will have been where that focus was at that time, on making sure that you arrived in Hawaii, so you achieved your goal and your outcome. And then, as you say, to come back and then go, okay, now what? And be faced with an empty diary, or one that is needing, you know, some more bookings in there. So how did you then start to fill that diary? What was your plan then?
Oh, well, that was very interesting. because to go out and approach people coldly wasn't something I really liked doing. Mm. So I actually had to learn the skill of how do I do this? Now, how do I actually do this? How do I talk to strangers, or how do I fill this story up? I've run out of all the people that I knew. So to me, you demonstrate how much you really want to grow your business and how much you are in business and how professional you want to be by taking the next step, and that is having strategies that you continuously use to actually keep your diary filled. And this is where I learnt the art of creating a system, I think, for myself, in that every time I do a spa or a party, what do I do the next morning to make sure that my diary is always overflowing with business? And anyone that now doesn't book, I would try and recover the next morning. I would have a strategy of how I talk to the customer from the previous day to actually book more spas, or if I can't get spas, that I would give them a complimentary facial. And if they said yes, I would say, why don't you make sure a friend joins you? I'd love to pamper both of you. So, you know, the multiplication of people relationships, and how do I expand having more people in my diary, whether it be a facial or a facial and a friend, or whether it be a mini spa, or whether it be a big spa, whether it be a charity function that I can promote myself in, whether it would be an expo that I would get involved in. All of these things I learned to do because I didn't have that full diary. And of course, you never look back when you can actually use these strategies to be able to continue your business and continue to expand it.
Now, that's fantastic. Now, Deanna, just help me to understand, and for those people that are listening on the call, so let's just visualise that you have gone along to a party and you've had 10 people that would have been at the party, for example, and of those 10 people, let's say 3 people made a commitment to book on the day. Is it my mm-hmm. understanding from my conversation with you now that you would then be in touch with those remaining people the following day and giving them an opportunity to have a facial and experience more intimate, have a more intimate experience with the product? Is that something that you obviously attribute some success to years ago? Is that something that you still implement in your business today? And is that my understanding of what that strategy
yes.
was?
Yes, and I still train it out. In fact, some of our team members would have a complimentary facial book. They will promote it within the show. You know, ladies, the girls that didn't have an opportunity, the girls that haven't booked a spa where I can see them again or didn't have an opportunity to get pampered today, why don't you put your name down and your phone number? When we're in your area working, we can make some time available to you and give you a complimentary pamper so you can experience the product at length. Mm-hmm. So we do that. So it's a little advertisement, and some people come and write their name in and others won't. And the ones that don't, I might ring them the next morning and have another chat. Look, maybe you didn't hear, you know, my message about our complimentary facials that we do offer at times when we're in your area. And so I'll just start a conversation. Or, did you enjoy the show last night? What did you think of it? I didn't have an opportunity to expand on my invitation to whatever mm-hmm. it is. And so I'll touch base the next morning and try and get further business.
Okay, now what I'm loving about this too, Deanna, and what I'm noticing in today's world is that very often people become incredibly busy with respect to, everything else that they need to do in the course of the day, or should I suggest that that's their excuse for not perhaps following through, is as a coach, what I hear time and time again, and no doubt you will hear that also in working with people within your tribe. So, you know, and with the introduction of email and SMS and all of these different things, I think one of the things that's really happened is that the human component has been removed, but there is nothing will replace the human element, and there's no hotter prospect than the people that you were just with the night before. So the
exactly.
idea of picking up the phone and having this conversation, I think, is something that, again, is an incredible suggestion to people who are looking at ways of growing their business. And here we have a woman who's been in the business for 30 years, who already is incredibly successful. And your success, Deanna, comes because you find the time to do the things that people won't find the time to do. And that's why you are where you are in business, and why others are out there still struggling. And it's about your willingness to have those systems and to appreciate that there is no hotter prospect than the person that you saw the night before, and to pick up the telephone and have that conversation. So my question to you is, have there been times where you have been fearful of picking up the phone and having that conversation, or is this a skill set that you were blessed with?
Oh, no skill set. Listen, if you want to address anybody about what fears they have, can I tell you, you've come to the right place.
Right.
Because I'm a bag of them. As I said, I didn't like cold calling. I didn't like talking to people that I didn't know. I didn't like telephoning people, none of that. But, again, every time a fear would present itself, I couldn't live with having to sit there and accepting that that was my lot in life. I just couldn't do that. Because I knew beyond the fear was a fabulous experience of learning and having a great life. So why would I then, as a sensible person, sit and play with this elusive fear, which is, it's only an illusion. So I started to change my illusions. I started to shrink the fear and expand my dream even more so. And that just pushed me forward to if I pick up the phone, if I talk from my heart, and I think this is the thing, you've got to have a heart connection. Put yourself in the place of your customer. Now, if somebody rings me up today, simply not wanting anything, but simply wanting to touch base, to give me an invitation to something that they think I could benefit by, and I have the option of saying yes or no, why wouldn't I do that? You know, so in getting the right thinking and not losing myself in these elusive, ridiculous, negative fears that were, they're not even your own choosing, they're just old experiences that have just sat there dormant. You know, it's the negative little ego trying to fight off the positive ego. And I used to have a little thing that used to flick Mr. Negative off my shoulder and embrace my Mr. Positive, you know.
Yeah.
I used to say, now, just go away, get lost, because I'm busy making my dream happen. I don't really need these little dribbly little fears to come in and block my creative thinking, you know. And I think, once you sort of understand that about yourself and know that your dream sits beyond the fear. In fact, the more fear you have, the greater the dream that's sitting before you, I have discovered. So really, the fear is only you want something so much that your negative ego will come in and try and talk you out of it. So I've learned to just put it back where it belongs. I mean, you know, there is a place for a little fear. A little bit of stress and a little bit of fear is good for everybody because it keeps them focused on what is good for them. But, you know, you can't let fear take away what your dream's about, what you're here to do.
And I love what you've shared there, you know, the two little voices on the shoulder. You know, I've got some names for mine as well, and they have a tendency to show up whenever we're expecting more of ourselves. Then those negative voices will kick in and that voice of doubt will come forward. And it's really about what we choose to buy into. And like you, Deanna, I had those conversations where I would tell my doubting Doris to pack her bags and get the heck out of there. She wasn't welcome. And what's interesting is sometimes we just have a tendency to buy into those stories about why we can't do things, and what we focus and put energy into grows. And I love that whole idea of shrinking the fear and expanding the dream. And the more we expand our dreams, the more fuel that we have, the passion becomes ignited, and the more trips to Hawaii and lovely cars and
that's
romantic
right.
moments with family and fun and all of those things that are experienced.
That's what it's about. Ultimately, you know, what this has taught me is to come up with a little bit of a system, I think. And I think anxious people and people that have fears, probably just like me when I first started, they need structure.
Yeah.
The more structure you can give people, the safer they feel. And if they can put themselves in that structure and practice it and learn to keep doing it until it's just water off a duck's back, then life becomes quite pleasurable in your work arena, in meeting your challenges with great anticipation rather than, you know, fearful anticipation. It's positive anticipation. And what I learned is that, you know, and I have shared this with all my team, is your diary is your boss. So you structure your diary for the life experience that you want to live out in your business and in your private life. So we have great diaries in Nutramedics. It's 1 week at a glance, and they're designed to optimise, I guess, the benefits using it correctly. And or when I do spas, I have my colour coded. So you put when you want to do spas for the whole month. You can then administration time when you're doing your book work, when you're doing your telephone work. When you're doing the follow-up of consultants, of your PR with your guests that you met the night before that, your reminders to your managers. So everything that is important in your business gets put into that diary, and even your personal time or time. I would say to girls, well, look, there's obviously in everybody's life there are things you cannot change. So rule the time out for that first. You know, family time, quality family time, a date night with your husband, when you might be doing certain things in your own home environment for your family. Rule all that time out. Now, once you've done your exercise time, don't forget to do that. Or a little hobby that you might have, put that in too. We work to live. We don't just live to work.
And that's so true, being able to have that balance.
Having that balance will sustain forever as long as possible in this business, because it's an exciting business, but you need to clean up your time availability and where you're going to spend certain time. Then all the time that you've got left over, you look at it and you say, okay, this is when I'm going to do my spas. I'm going to book my 3 a week in on a Saturday afternoon. I'll do 2 Saturday and 1 during the week. This is when I'm going to do my telephone time. Telephone time is important. We're talking about relationships and sending emails. I mean, it's great that we've got such communication technology now, which is great, but the personal approach is what really builds this wonderful business. So rather than sending a million emails out, hey, make 10 calls a day and you've got a powerful business in front of you. And make those 10 phone calls, if it's 10 phone calls at 5 minutes you can afford to make, why don't you prioritise those calls? Sponsoring is the most important, then servicing your customers, then ringing a lot of your consultants. And helping them develop the business and keeping in touch with your managers, finally. So all of these things take time, but they are relevant and important in building a very expansive and rich business. So put the time where it counts. And if you're very clear about time and the way you live out your time and the way you use it, then you don't get headaches, you don't get anxiety, you are more organised, your picture and where you're taking yourself into your dream, it's very clear. Mm-hmm. That's where you're going to require your discipline. This is where I appreciate my mum.
Yeah.
Discipline is the key word.
Yeah, and it's so true, you know, put the time where it counts. And so often, you know, I see people will be investing time in doing the things that they feel most comfortable doing, but they may busy themselves in doing that, but the results are not there, and it's not certainly not putting money in the bank, food on the table, and supporting the growth of a business. And as you say, you know, all of these things that you've shared for people to be doing, this is the foundation for a sustainable, lucrative business, not just some part-time hobby that may provide some, you know, some finances and some experiences of life every now and then, and there's quite a difference. I think, you know, what you've shared today, I can really see how you call your tribe Dream Believers. You know, I can really see now, having had the privilege of working with you and creating, you know, a foundation and a presence online for that, you know, I can really see now where this name's come from for you and how that really resonates at such a deep heart level for you. So I'd just like to ask you, you know, obviously you've had some really great experiences and some great achievements. And in just hearing this conversation, I would suggest that, that one of the greatest achievements that you had was that very first party that you did, you know, getting out there and not only just surviving that, but thriving that. If I was to ask, you know, what was another one that you could say was a highlight for you? What would that look like for you? What was another great achievement for you?
Well, I think the one of the greatest highlights probably of my career was every award there was to get, I got it. Not because I planned to get it, but because I was focused on helping others achieve their dreams. That basically says it. Yeah. And all the awards, the development awards, the sales awards, all of those awards were presented to me because of that. Again, I never go for this recognition thing, you know, I want to be the number one at something. No, what I want to do is feel good about providing information to people out there that probably, like me, had a negative perception of what direct party sales were about or direct selling business was about. I want to open their eyes to this great adventure, great experience that, you know, they can put themselves into something without any financial risk whatsoever and create this abundant empire, not just in finance, not just in money, but in great feeling, in feeling good about themselves and helping others feel just as great in perhaps discovering that we all, together, working as a team, can make our dreams truly come true, not just for ourselves, but for everyone out there. So when people say I'm unemployed or things like that, I think, why? We have many positions, management positions. All you have to do is come in, get involved, get focused, be honest with yourself, do what you must do, and it'll all happen. Look, just get in and do it. Just do it.
Look, Deanna, I have to say it's been such a privilege spending some time talking with you this morning. You know, I feel totally inspired having spent the last 45 minutes or so with you, and you've been incredibly generous in sharing your wisdom and your insights into an industry that really is such a beautiful playground for women to create the life that they've always wanted to create, to live life on purpose and to really enjoy themselves and have a whole heap of fun along the way. And I just wanted to really acknowledge you and thank you for being so generous in sharing your wisdom. It's just been such a privilege, and I know that your words will certainly, you know, be of great benefit and wonderful value to anybody who is either already within your Dream Believers tribe or who's looking for an opportunity to become involved in this wonderful industry we call direct sales. So thank you. My heartfelt thanks to you for investing in the time today. It's been such a privilege spending some time with you.
Thank you. I'm very honoured for you to ask me to have this chat.
Fantastic. Thank you, you are very Thank welcome. You. I'll look forward to hearing some more stories along the way. So until our hearts...
And I've got many fun ones.
Oh, look, do you know what? I think I could do a whole series of conversations with you. It's just been such a joy. So, you know, I look forward to an opportunity when our paths will cross again. But as I say, fantastic, you know, really awesome. I look forward to doing it again shortly.